Welcome to Issues of the Heart. Have you experienced anger, jealousy, anxiety, depression, marital storms or difficulties? Maybe struggling with self-control? Well, you're not alone, and we're here to help. We deal with these issues and more on Issues of the Heart. It's a weekly broadcast hosted by Jay Albright and a variety of guests, where we examine biblical remedies to those issues of the heart. Stay tuned for this week's episode.
Well, glad you're joining us. The beginning of a brand new year, 2024. I used to make fun of everybody claiming that they were setting out to start New Year resolutions, you know, to lose weight or to start getting physical exercise or maybe to read their Bible, you know, every day for a year or whatever, or maybe not to be angry all the time, whatever that New Year's resolution would be. But I can tell you that, I don't make fun of that anymore because I think it's more of a reset rather than a resolution. So what a wonderful opportunity God gives all of us. We get to those points in our life where maybe we've messed up, we've made mistakes, and he allows us to confess that and reset and get back on the path he has us to be on and get started in the direction that we need to be going. So I think today is your opportunity to reset. Start over. Let's get this right. And hopefully this will be a very productive year for you, a year where you'll see a lot of changes and a lot of things happen in your life and in your family. Well, we're going to resume with these anchors in stormy relationships. We've been talking about that. We're going to cover two today instead of just one. And the reason is because I think these two goes together so well. One, anchor number 12 is the anchor of laughter. And I think that one is pretty important. And then I think we have number 13, which is the anchor of emotional security. And so we're going to cover both of those today and see how they fit. And remember, I don't know what your storm is right now in your relationship. Maybe it's a pretty serious storm. Maybe you're on the verge of something catastrophic happening, maybe a separation or a divorce or something happening in your relationship. I don't know how far it's gone. I don't know how bad it is. I don't know where how deep the hurt goes. But I will tell you that all of us, every person that's living, who's married and in a relationship, all of us have been through those times or are going through those times or are going to go through those times where the storm comes and it gets difficult, it gets hard and challenging. And at those times, it's difficult sometimes to figure out what we need to do. And sometimes we need to get help. We get in scripture, we find out what the Bible says, and we get with our counselor, our pastors, and we find out from our pastors what is it we need to do, and other counselors if you need that assistance. But until that happens, we need to throw out an anchor and stop right where we're at. Just be still. Don't make any decisions in the storm. Don't head in critical directions in the middle of the storm. Throw out an anchor and just be still. And let's find out where the problems are coming from. And then let's get a restart. Okay, so we were talking about restarting the beginning of the year. What a perfect time to get a restart in your marriage, in your relationship. At the beginning of the year, the first day of the year today. So we're going to talk about a couple of these. And the one I want to discuss with you first is the anchor of laughter. The anchor of laughter. Now, I've been accused of using too much humor too often. For some reason over the years, it's become part of me to use humor in teaching or preaching or counseling. The reason is because the subjects sometimes are so difficult that people tend to accept them more voluntarily if they have a light heart while you're giving them the information. And so that's been one of the strategies over the years that's helped me. But I think that it's also a biblical truth. And let me explain what I'm saying. Couples who laugh together tend to stay together. Couples who laugh together tend to stay together. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I mean, I know some couples who probably won't stay together who laugh at a lot of things. And I'm not talking about laughing at things. I'm not talking about laughing at society. I'm not talking about laughing at problems and difficulties. I'm talking about laughing together, finding joy in your interaction with each other. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You see, laughter has medicinal qualities. Laughter is a medication. It's been proven scientifically, it's been proven medically, and we have it in the Bible that when you laugh, when there's laughter, when there's joy, it has a positive effect on your life and your outlook on life. That's why I can very sternly say couples who laugh together stay together. In years of counseling, I can tell you this, and Stephanie, if she was in here with me, would I guarantee you agree with what I'm about to say. But those couples that we counsel who laugh together, they're couples that it's easy for us to counsel and to help because they're ready and they're willing to accept because they have a positive outlook on their circumstances. People who don't have a positive outlook, they're grumpy, they're angry about everything. They don't have a positive outlook, and they don't see any joy potential in their situation. So remember, laughter has medicinal qualities. If a couple laughs together, that's medicating for the other person. We've enjoyed our over the years, and we've used this with our kids too. Around our house, I don't know how it is at your house, and everybody's different, but around our house, dinner time was the time our whole family was together. We had five kids, and getting five kids as teenagers to be at the same place at the same time is not always easy. It's kind of difficult because you got kids in sports. Excuse me. You have kids in other activities. You have kids that are out in the neighborhood. You have kids who are doing their own thing. But at dinner, it seemed like we insisted that we all be together at dinner time in the evenings. And I'm telling you, some of the best times I remember while our kids were growing up were those days sitting around the dinner table in our home. Now, when I was growing up in my family, it was the same thing. If you were to talk to my brothers and my sisters or my mom and dad who are now in heaven, if you could talk to them, you'd find out, excuse me, that when we had dinner, all the kids were there, especially on Sundays. And we would tell stories about what happened during the day or what happened last week or some things we'd experienced as a family together. And we spent more time laughing at the dinner table than we did eating most of the time. I mean, it was just, that was just the highlight of our day. Steph and I wanted it to be that way with our kids. And so every dinner time, we all got together and we would talk about movies that we had watched. Some of the kids would mimic some of the things they saw in the movies. And we would laugh and enjoy that time together. A lot of times after the meal, we would go outside in the back and we'd start a fire. And we'd go out and roast marshmallows and make some hot dogs. And then we didn't require the kids to go out there with us. We just would say, we're going to go out there and we're going to make some s'mores and sit around the fire. And it just seemed like they all just came out there. Even if they had something else originally planned, they all just came out there to sit with us around the fire in the evenings. I believe the reason was the laughter they enjoyed at the dinner table, they knew they would enjoy out by the fire. It'd be carried over. Because laughter doeth good like a medicine. And we didn't know what our kids went through at school. We didn't know if there were conflicts they had. We didn't know how their study went necessarily. We didn't know if they had friends that issue. We didn't know. But all we knew was at dinner time around our table, that was a place, that was a time for everybody to relax, to enjoy each other, and like a medicine, ease anything maybe you had gone through throughout the day. So I'm telling you, around your house, I don't know what you do. I don't know what your plans are. I don't know what activities you guys involve yourself in at your house. But I'm telling you, you ought to make laughter part of your life in your home with your mate, with your spouse. Right now, that's where our focus is. Our focus is on our stormy relationship with our mate. So what do? One of the anchors you throw out is throw out that anchor of laughter. Remember, laughter has medicinal qualities. Also, remember the Bible said in Proverbs, I think it's chapter 5, verse number 18, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Rejoice with the wife of thy youth. I can tell you this, and I'm not just saying this because I'm talking about this anchor. I have more fun with my wife than anybody else I know. We laugh more together than anybody else. We enjoy our time together. We tease each other. We harass each other in a humorous way. Because laughter creates an enjoyable atmosphere. Who likes to be where there's constant turmoil and constant problems and constant difficulty? I'm sure you don't either. No one likes to be in that circumstance. So what you need to do is you need to create an atmosphere of laughter where there is enjoyment. So laughter creates an enjoyable atmosphere. It has medicinal qualities. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 15 says, all the days of the afflicted are evil. But he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Think about that. People who are dealing with conflict all the time, people who are struggling, who have bad attitudes all the time, all the days of their life are days of evil. They're days of constant harassment. They're days of frustration. They're days of aggravation. But when you have a merry heart, the Bible says that's a continual feast. You just enjoy it. Don't ever want to leave it. A continual feast is that merry heart. A merry heart. Well, what's your attitude like? Do you have an old, cranky, gripey attitude? It's hard to get along with you. I mean, when you When you get home, everybody runs and hides. The dog hides under the bed. The wife hides in the closet. The kids hide in their rooms. Or is there a joy element when you get home? Laughter minimizes friction. If there's laughter and joy between a husband and a wife, there's very little room for friction. Joy. A heart right with God cannot contain joy and bitterness at the same time. Get what I just said? A heart right with God cannot contain joy and bitterness at the same time. So, anchor number 12, the anchor of laughter. How's it around your house? How much laughing goes on in your house? How much joy is in your house? How much fun do you have? I could tell you story after story. I don't have time, or I won't get to my other anchor for tonight. But I'm telling you, my wife and I, she's a tease, I'm a tease. I'll tell you one story. We were on our way back from a meeting. We had a meeting in Northern Iowa. And when I went to the meeting, I took my suit and everything I was supposed to wear. And I took some warm-ups and some stuff to wear back home so I wasn't dressed up on the way home. Well, when we got ready to come home, I had all of my casual clothes, but I forgot to bring my tennis shoes. And so all I had was some patent leather black shoes that I took to wear with my suit. And so I said, well, I'll just wear these. And Stephanie said, you're not wearing those. Yeah, you know, people will see you in warm-ups with those shoes. That'll be embarrassing. You're not going to wear it. And I said, look, nobody's going to see us. So we're going to go straight home. And I won't get out of the car. I'll make it home. Don't worry about it. So I got in the car and I had my patent leather shoes on with all my grubby stuff. And we were on our way home. We both got kind of hungry. And I decided that we ought to stop at McDonald's. So I told my wife, I said, why don't we just stop at McDonald's? She said, I knew this was going to happen. I'm not going to McDonald's with you wearing what you have on. And I said, look, I said, it'll be fine. I said, look, I said, we'll go and we'll just go to the drive up window, get our cell phone. Go. Well, when we got to McDonald's, there was a line a mile long at the drive up window. We didn't have time for that. So I said, look, let's just go in. We'll go in real fast. I'll get back in the corner and you can go up, order our stuff and bring it to us and we'll be fine. So anyway, we went in, I got in the corner, she went up, she ordered what we were going to get. We had our meal, and I always take a Coke and a cup of coffee with me when I leave to drink on my way for the rest of the drive. And so we were headed out to the car, but we had to cross the drive-up window line to get to our car. So here we are. I had these warm-ups on, and these were snap-up warm-ups, you know, that snap all the way up both sides so that, you know, real basketball players were in their game. They just pull them, and they come off, and they start playing basketball. So I had shorts on, and I had these snap-on warm-ups. We're headed across there, and I had these patent leather shoes, and we went to step, and all these cars, you could almost feel them looking at us. And then I went to step out, and all of a sudden I felt something on my back. And she had put her hand on my back, and she had pulled those warm-ups, and they unsnapped all the way down both legs. And there I was standing in a pair of shorts with patent leather black shoes on, holding a cup of coffee and a Coke in one hand, and horns started honking. People rolled their windows down and started saying, yeah, yeah, hollering out the window. And there I was, totally embarrassed, with a cup of coffee in one hand and a Coke in another hand. And Stephanie lowered her head, went around me, went onto the car, and laughed all the way home. Well, you know what? It sure was a lot better than griping all the way home, right? Laughter doeth good like a medicine. Have fun with your mate. Now I'm going to cover the second anchor tonight real quickly. This is the anchor number 13. This is the anchor of emotional security. Now, we talked about laughing. We talked about having a joyful countenance. We talked about enjoying the wife of your youth, enjoying that time together, the medicinal qualities of laughter. We talked about that, a merry heart. But let me talk to you a little bit about being an emotional security. Knowing you support each other no matter what is of great value. Knowing you support one another no matter what is of great value. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever messed up? Have you ever made any mistake? I know I'm not the only one that's listening to what I'm saying that has made some pretty stupid decisions and some pretty dumb mistakes. But you know what? When those times come and when those things happen, emotional strength should come from your mate. Emotional strength should come from your mate. What happened the last time your husband or your wife made a big mistake? Maybe you had an accident. Maybe something else happened. What was your response? Did you throw a fit? Did you slam your hand down? Did you talk mean to the other person because something happened beyond their control? Or were you emotional support, emotional security for them? I read a story of a gentleman who had a car that he had restored. That car was the pride of his life. He loved that car. And something happened. The wife, one of their cars was out of commission. He was at work. She had to make a trip to the store. She didn't know how she was going to do it. She didn't have a vehicle to go in, but she knew he had that car. Nobody drove that car but him. So she went out, she got in the car, she started up, she drove that car to the store. On the way home, she was involved in an accident. And she was sitting on the side of the road, and she had gotten out of the car after the accident, was sitting on the curb beside the car, weeping like a baby. The police officer had talked to the other person involved and came to her and said, "Ma'am, can I talk to you for a minute?" She said, "You don't understand." She said, "This car is my husband's pride and joy. He'll die when he knows what happened." He said, "Well, ma'am, I'm sorry, but I am going to need the restoration and the insurance. So if you could get that for me," she said. "Officer, I don't know what I'm going to do. This is going to hurt my husband. I don't know what I'm going to do." He said, "Ma'am, I understand. And again, I'm very sorry, but I need you to get me the insurance and the restoration." So she went to the car. She opened the glove box. She reached in the glove box, and there was an envelope that said restoration on it. She got the envelope. She reached in the envelope. And the registration and the insurance were wrapped in a note. She took the insurance and registration, gave it to the police officer, opened up the note, and the note said this: "My dearest wife, if you're in this envelope, no doubt you've been involved in an accident. And I want you to know that you're more valuable to me than this car or anything else I own. And as long as you're okay, everything's all right with us. Hey, you know what he was? He was emotional strength in a crisis of hers. The Bible said in Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Be careful, because it's at these emotional times that a heart is the most vulnerable. When something happens, when the wife or the husband go through a catastrophic event, or maybe it's not so catastrophic, but it's an event, it's at those times their heart is the most vulnerable. And if you respond in a negative, coarse, hateful, mean way, you may have caused more damage than she can ever recover from. It's at these times the protective covering of the heart is removed because of a tragic events. That protective covering is removed and it's totally vulnerable and can be wounded easily. And when it's wounded in this condition, it's hard to recover. Emotional security is the guarding of the heart. Emotional security is provided through acceptance, through respect, through gratitude, through understanding, through compassion, and through availability. Think about it. Emotional security you can give to your mate is available through acceptance. Do you accept them no matter what happened? No matter what they are? I mean, I don't care how old you are, and I don't care all the changes that have taken place. You say, well, you don't understand. You know, she's a lot bigger than she used to be. Have you looked in the mirror lately? Well, my husband, I don't know, as he's gotten older, he's gotten so fragile and skinny. And well, hey, I don't care if he's so skinny. You know, that if he turns sideways, he looks like a zipper. I don't care. Acceptance is part of what you can use to cover that hurt. Have compassion. So acceptance. Do you accept them no matter what the problem was? Do you respect them regardless of the mistake they made? Do you give them gratitude for the things they do for you they don't have to do? Understanding. Do they get it from you? Well, he's can't remember the way he used to. He can't respond the way he used to. She can't keep track. She can't cook the way she used to. She can't do this. She can't do that. Well, what about some understanding? Compassion. The biggie. What about availability? What about being there for that emotional security, even if it's just to wrap your arms around them for a moment and hug them through the difficulty? That's a key anchor. When the storms come, when the difficulties come, and they will, when the trials come, you bet they'll be there. Throw out that anchor of emotional security. Throw out the anchor of laughter. And just be still. When the laughter and when the compassionate hug calms the storm, now you can figure out how to fix it. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for your time. We're going to be coming back with some live broadcasts when we get off of the anchors and we start on dealing with the subject of anger. Those are going to be live broadcasts, and we're going to have guests on for those. So hold on to that. Remember, every Monday night, 7 o'clock. Thanks, you. Have a wonderful new year, and we'll talk to you next Monday night.